Oh, this is like nice master's music here. God. Eddie R. Zuman just picks this bucolic little piano piece. Yes, the patrons at Augusta National. Yeah. Don't call them a crowd. You'll be banished for life. Joining us now is Anne Liguori, the author of Life on the Green. Can we call it a New York Times bestseller yet, Anne, or are we still working on that?
Hey, it just came out literally last week, so I'm excited. Hopefully it will be. I know the pre-sales have been amazing, but thanks for mentioning it. I think it's a book for everyone, right? Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from Legends of Golf. I have, five Masters champions in it, and six men, six women. Annika, who just became a member, saw her running around in her green jacket, Annika Sorenstam. She's in the book as well. So really great. I did a couple book signings down here in Augusta, Richard, and the live gnome actually showed up. It was awesome. You know, the gnome is the hottest thing in the merchandise area here. You can't get one. They sell out within, say, 30 minutes, and you have to be in line at 7:15 and get in to get it, or you don't get it. And there's actually a guy from Augusta who dressed up identical to the gnome, and he shows up at my book signing.
Well, explain to people who aren't necessarily into golf what that is, what the live gnome is.
Well, the gnome is, it's just like this little figure, that statue that they make every year here, the last, 5 or 6 years, and it's a collector's item. And it's just this little guy with a beard, dressed up in different clothes, and it's like a garden gnome, but you don't put it in your garden because they're very valuable. A lot of people buy them here and then sell them for, it's $50 if you buy it here, but when you go on eBay, they're selling for hundreds and hundreds of dollars. So it's a collector's item. Anyway, he showed up at my book signing yesterday at the book, or this past week at the Book Tavern, and it helped. You know, we had a lot of people come in, and he was, but anyway, the book is a lot of fun. It's life wisdom, what these legends have learned from golf that they use in their day-to-day life, and they're amazing stories. I've learned a lot about these. You know, I've been covering golf for years, yet I learned so much about these legends, everybody from Jack Nicklaus and Ben Crenshaw. Bernard Langer is in the book, Tom Watson. It's really what they learned from golf that
in a couple of months maybe do a bundle with my one true crime book and your book, you know, put them together for a special price.
We'll
do that
somewhere.
Yeah, I'll write on your coattails there. So, Masters, man, yesterday was amazing with the wind, and you know, you look at the scores, and if you didn't watch it, you'd go, what happened? All these great golfers, you know, were 77 and 79, and what kind of scores are those? And yet, you know, there were only, two people who shot under par yesterday?
Yeah, it was more windy and gusty than I have ever seen at what I've been here, 26 years. And there was, magnolia tree leaves were, you know, all over the golf course. I mean, there is debris, and of course they clean it up right away, but sand coming out of the greens. And I mean, it was just so gusty that it was very, very challenging. And every player out there will tell you it's probably the toughest conditions they had ever played in yesterday. It was just brutal. And the scoring average was 75, which I think it's the highest since 2017. So, yeah. Just the conditions were brutal, and we have a lot of great stories, and, you know, they were able to prevail. Obviously, Tiger being one of the key stories here this weekend, advancing to his 24th, he made his 24th straight cut, which is pretty incredible, Richard, if you think about it. The guy can barely walk, right, and he's hardly played at all this season, but his short game is just phenomenal. And early in the week, he went out there and practiced with only a wedge and a couple wedges and his putter. And, he just knows where to miss, right? He misses in the right spot. He shot a plus 173 in the first round. Yesterday, he had an even par 72. And as I mentioned, he made a record 24th straight cut. And that his second round was interesting. He birdied the third hole, bogeyed 4 and 5. Then on the par 3-6, he chips in for birdie. Bogey 7, birdies 8, bogeys 14, birdied 15. Obviously, 48 years old. Long, long day. He had to play 5 holes in the morning from the first round. And so then he played 23 total holes yesterday. And, you know, it takes him so much preparation just to be able to get out there and move, right? So everybody was concerned about, can he play 18 holes? Can he walk 4 straight days? Well, yesterday he had to play 23 holes, and he has to get up so early just to prepare to get out there to move and to walk with all his injuries. And he says his entire body just aches every single day, but he's Tiger, and yeah. He really feels he has a chance. He says, I'm right in this. He's 7 shots back, and he said, I don't think anyone is going to run up and hide right now, because the course has been playing so tough and the conditions were so challenging, although the wind won't be as tough today as it was yesterday, as strong, and tomorrow it's supposed to get up in the 80s, so it'll be warm again. So he loves those hot, humid conditions.
Yeah. I honestly don't think he has much of a chance to win, any chance to win, really. But the fact that he makes the cut, and I saw him interviewed after the round, and, you know, they say that if you had congratulated him a few years ago on making cuts, he would have given you the death stare. But now, you know, tying Fred Couples for the record of consecutive cuts and then saying, hey, I got to call Fred and needle him a little bit. It's a pretty amazing feat at his age and in his physical condition to shoot even par at Augusta. And so much of it is course knowledge. You know, he knows the course like the back of his hand. So even if he doesn't hit a great iron shot into the green, he knows the greens and everything so well that he can get up and down for par.
That's right. He knows where to miss. So he misses in the right spot, and his wedge game, and it's just phenomenal. In fact, Max Homa, who is one of the three leading at 6 under, played with him. And Max just idolizes Tiger and grew up just, you know, idolizing the guy. And he just said his short game is just incredible. It's just so good. His iron play is just phenomenal. And, you know, I think that helped Max. It's just Max has been playing great golf, and maybe it's Max Homa's time, right? He's just in the zone. He's felt so much more comfortable this week. And he just says he's learned so much just playing with Tiger and watching Tiger. And he said he feels the crowd on every shot. You know, it's one thing to learn and be with Tiger, but then you have to deal with the distraction of the galleries and, you know, just how much noise there is with everything that Tiger does, right?
Yeah.
And,
the forgotten man is a guy who's won the Masters and was made the cut plus 4 is Phil Mickelson. You know, I haven't heard a word about Phil Mickelson, and here he is still, you know, technically in it. He's not going to win, but still to shoot plus 4 at his age, which, what is he, 52 now or 50?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks really thin, I have to say.
Yes.
He obviously kept a very low profile. There are a lot of players that we haven't really seen on camera. They're not showing a lot of variety, I must say. And so, yeah, you know, after the end of the day, you think, well, you know, how did Phil play or how did so-and-so play? And you have to really go back and look. Thank goodness on the Masters app, you can see every single shot of every single player in the field. But, 8 of 13 guys on LIV made the cut, and Bryson DeChambeau is tied for the lead. So they've had quite a good showing here this week for sure.
Yeah. Well, how are the tour players dealing with Rahm and guys like that? Do you sense animosity? I know there were, was it Cantlay who made a couple of comments, but by and large, has it been kind of distant, or what would you, how would you characterize the relationship between the guys on the LIV and the PGA guys?
Yeah, you know, Boomer asked me the same question the other morning, and it's been very civil. Of course, here at the Masters, they all just want to focus and win. There haven't been any stories of any bitterness or any remarks or, you know, I'd love to say there a fight broke out at the Champions Dinner, but that's just not the case. In fact, Tom Watson, one of the honorary starters with Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus, he was commenting about just how great it was to see everybody together and the camaraderie so positive. So everybody's just happy to be playing together. They don't play a lot together these days, right? And everybody's talking about unification and the need for unification and for more of these star players to be able to play each other, you know, more week to week, aside for just at the majors, which I think is important. So that's a whole other topic. But everybody's focused on winning the Masters, so yeah, You're not going to hear anything that's negative right now about the two guys.
I'm starting to turn around on that a little bit in that, you know, look at Dustin Johnson. He 13 over, did not make the cut. Bubba Watson, 10 over, did not make the cut. Jordan Spieth was 9 over. Of course, he's PGA guy, did not make the cut.
John Rahm barely made the cut.
Yeah.
He
John Rahm.
But then he birdied 15 and 16. He got to 5 over, and the cut line was 6 over. So John Rahm, who's a LIV guy now, defending champion, he's just barely hung in there.
Yeah. So I'm thinking the PGA Tour, even if they don't reunify, will survive and still do well. And the LIV Tour, nobody's watching it, you know. And even Rahm has expressed some regret in a sense that, well, we should be playing 4 rounds and golf isn't a team game and things like that. So I think in a lot of ways, this reunification thing, I don't know how it's going to work, because what do you do to the guys who stayed loyal to the PGA Tour and lost millions of dollars that they could have had by jumping? Are they going to compensate those guys? How do they do that?
You know, I agree with you, Richard. I just think it's, what is it, politically correct to say unification is what we need? I agree with you. The LIV guys knew what they were getting into when they took the money and ran. And John Rahm has expressed, he's very frustrated that they're not playing more tournaments together with the top players. But Rahm knew what was happening when he jumped to LIV Golf. And he also said he misses playing a lot of the PGA Tour events, particularly the ones he won last year. And he lives right there in Phoenix. And he said he drove by the Phoenix Open and he was just so sad and disappointed that he wasn't playing it this year because he's won it. So, but hey, they made their own bed, basically, and they're going to have to deal with it. And obviously, the Ryder Cup is a big question mark for John Rahm in the future. The world ranking points aren't recognizing the LIV players, and I don't know if they will. So that's going to be a big question mark. But I don't necessarily think that, like you, that they need to come together. The PGA Tour has a great investment now from the Strategic Sports Group, and we'll see how they use that money. I hear it's going to be eventually $3 billion to the PGA Tour. But I also don't think that the PGA Tour players should be compensated for staying. I just think that's ridiculous. Let's just play golf, focus on performances, and, you know, I think money is wrecking the game, and the talk of money is wrecking the game, and it's obviously playing a little bit of havoc with the TV ratings. I think people want to just see really great performances and good stories. So We'll see what happens.
Well, and the Saudis are buying into tennis now. You know, that's the next step. So
yeah, I just don't agree with all that. I think the Justice Department will have a lot to say about all of that. They can't even get a lot of the Saudi officials or any of the Saudi officials to come in for hearings. And there are U.S. laws that they'd have to adhere to. So we'll see how that all plays out as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, they say for the good of the game, you know, to throw more money into the players' pockets doesn't help the fan at all. You know, the person watching doesn't care whether the winner gets $4 million or $2 million. You know, obviously the players care about that. But, you know, for the good of the game, it's not giving the players more money. I mean, I don't think that makes the game better.
I agree. I think it's turning off a lot of fans. It really is. I think it's turning off a lot of media. It's all this talk about divisiveness and just want to go out and see great performances. And I think the PGA Tour, there's so much depth in the game. Stars will be made.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stars who are on the PGA Tour, aside from Scottie Scheffler, haven't really been winning. I mean, look at Rory McIlroy. Thank goodness he hasn't jumped to live. He's stuck around, and he's very good friends with the commissioner of the PGA Tour. So I don't think even though you hear rumors or you had heard rumors months ago, but Rory has been struggling. I mean, he has really not found his A game this season. He did win early in the season. You know, he won in Dubai, the Hero Dubai Desert Classic, and then he came in second in the Dubai Invitational. But then last week he was third. But he's struggling here. He was going for the career Grand Slam. The Masters is the only title, the only major title he has not won. But he's just made too many mistakes. He shot a 5 over 77 yesterday, Richard, and so he's +4 overall. And he went right to the range after a very long day yesterday because his iron play is just not up yeah. to par.
So. He is so inconsistent. You know, he'll make a great shot and birdie a hole, and the next he'll make a stupid shot, hit the water, bogey. You know, he's so roller coaster these days, you know, and I wonder if it's concentration, if he's not keeping his focus, or what's going on with him. The other guy, too, that I was a big fan of is Jordan Spieth, and he's just nowhere at this point.
Yeah, Jordan Spieth, he had he won here in 2015, but when he resumed the first round yesterday morning, he missed a short putt to save par in 14. And then on 15, he made a quadruple bogey, the par 5 15th. His chip shot rolled through the green and down the slope into the creek. Then he had another bad chip. Then he had a short putt. He went from +2 to +6 on that hole. And then he bogeyed 17. So, and when I was reading some stories on Jordan Spieth, I saw that he also had a quad on that same hole back in 2017. So he has missed a cut in 3 of his last 4 events. He has not played well at all. So who knows what's going on? So much of it is mental, as you know.
Yeah. And my friend Reed Farrell Coleman said, oh, my dark horse guy is Brian Harman. Well, he shot an 81 in the first round. The 9 plus 9
yeah,
did not make
the
cut.
Did not make
the
cut.
Yeah. I mean, that's the crazy thing. If you bet on golf, you're nuts because there's no way to predict. I mean, yeah, Scottie Scheffler going to be in the top, 5. You can predict that week after week. But other than that, man, anybody can win this thing. Max Homa's right there. You've got Hodgaard, who people aren't familiar with, who's 4 under. Morikawa, of course, has won. He's 3. So, I mean, you got a lot of guys in contention here. And, with good conditions the next couple of days, somebody's going to shoot a low round.
Yeah, today is moving day. But you have to talk about Bryson DeChambeau, too, Richard. I mean, this guy, he is playing with a set of irons that he helped design. And they just got approved by the USGA this past Monday. This kid's unbelievable. He is just, he was a physics major in college, and he's the mad scientist. And, there was this video and image of him from yesterday's round. He hit right on 13 and had to punch out to the 14th, and he had to move a sign.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the social media pictures, but that just adds to that mythic persona. I mean, he's just incredible. He bombs the ball off the tee, and when he keeps it under control, it's driver, wedges, his iron game's good. He's been putting well. He won the U.S. Open at Wingfoot in 2020 doing exactly that. So if he continues to hit the ball as well as he's hitting this weekend, he could win a Masters title.
Yeah, and he's transformed himself. You know, he was the guy that bulked up and was hitting the ball, you know, 380 yards, you know, and just overpowering courses. And now he's, there have been some subtle changes. He's not the monster. I mean, he still hits it a long way, but his game is more subtle now than it was. So you're right. He is Mr. Experimental Tinkering Guy. What was it? His clubs were actually made with a computer, with a printer.
3D printing.
A 3D printer. That boggles the mind to think they can make golf clubs that way.
I know. It's just crazy. But he's so into it. And he helped, you know, with the design, as I mentioned. And all the irons are the same length, the length of the 7-iron. So all his irons are the same length. His coaches, student Tom Bailey owns this company called Avoda Irons, and that's a company that made this custom set for Bryson. And you know, I've always liked Bryson. A lot of people always thought him odd and different, but I like that about him. And I just was very disappointed when he went to Live, because I just thought, gosh, he has so much potential, and we don't get to see these guys that much. We don't know what form they're in coming into these Masters, because you can't really tell. If you watch a Live telecast, it's very, very hard to tell. By the way, Greg Norman is here. He had to buy a ticket to get in.
Wow.
And they're making a big deal about that. And then Freddie Couples made a good point. With all the Live players who are playing here, couldn't one of them give him a ticket? Very odd.
Yeah, Greg.
They're making a big deal about Greg Norman having to pay for a ticket.
I think he can afford it, but I don't know. He's on my S list here.
I'm not a big Greg Norman fan
these days. Okay, and we'll enjoy the golf. Are you going to get to play on Monday?
Well, here's the deal. I mean, the last time I played, it was 2017 here at Augusta National, and you have to wait 7 years. So I'm nearing that 7 year period, but because of the COVID year, they're adding another year. So apparently I'm not eligible to put my name in the lottery until 2026. So I have to wait 2 more years just to have a chance to get picked.
Well, maybe by then I'll be back on the course and join you. We'll see.
Well, you have to start playing again, Richard. I'm surprised to hear you're not.
I have, and it's depressing. It's like,
well, read the Nancy Lopez chapter in my book, Life on the Green. You have to stay positive.
Okay. That's hard
you
to do when you're shanking
on and off the court.
Nine irons.
To do, but you must.
Okay. And LaGuardia, Life on the Green is the book. It's available wherever books are sold. Not on the bestseller list yet, but it will be. All right. 877-337-6666. More of your calls coming right up.